Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Menas. And this is part of our special lockdown series throughout the next period while we're all restricted to home apart from essentials. I thought it'd be a good time to chat with cricketers all around the country. And what a way to start with Alex Blackwell, who played 251 games for Australia. Alex, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thanks, Andrew. I'm well. I'm at home. Trying to pass some time doing odd jobs like sorting out old files and photos. It's actually quite enjoyable digging out old photos from the early days when I was playing cricket at Gordon Cricket Club or when I was playing cricket for the Riverina. I look a lot different.
Yeah.
I can say that. It's been a long cricket career.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, this period for everybody is going to be a time of reflection because, you know, we're kind of all at home. We've got more time on our hands, less running around. But for you, this is a really important time of reflection because, you know, you just drew to an end your playing career, finishing up with the Sydney Thunder. So, now all the playing is behind you and you can really sort of step back and reflect on it. And I guess you just answered my question. It sounds like you have been a little.
Yeah, and actually I think it's been a good time for me, Andrew, to just slow down for once. And even though I retired from Australia and New South Wales maybe nearly 2 years ago now, I still feel like I'm in that athlete transition phase, which is somewhat of an awkward phase. I've gone back to work. I'm sitting on Cricket New South Wales board. I'm doing lots of commentary work and speaking gigs and that sort of thing. But I actually haven't become less busy since retirement. This moment, while it's a forced lockdown for everyone and it's not something that we would have wished for, I think personally I'm actually benefiting somewhat from slowing down. Sometimes I need things to force me to slow down, I realise.
Yeah, well, in preparing for this interview, I mean, I can see you've got tons of stuff on the go, working a job on the board. You've also got the cricket commentary, and then you were just playing for the Thunder in the WBBL. When you sort of take this time to look back at your long, successful career that includes 3 World Cups, captaining Australia, numerous honours, you must be, I guess, very satisfied.
Yeah, I think, and I'll just correct you there, Andrew, 3 T20 World Cup victories, two 50 over World Cup victories and a couple of World Cup losses. I won't count them.
So five World Cups.
Five World Cup wins. I think I've been to seven total World Cups. It was a long career, as you say. But, yeah, look, there's a lot that I'm proud of there. And I also realise now that I'm launching into these other roles that sport's given me so much in terms of, you know, resilience and other skills, teamwork, to sort of draw on when I'm now in new teams, somewhat of a junior member, a mature but junior member of my new teams, which, I'm really enjoying. So the major role I'm doing at the moment is my 3-day-a-week job at Sydney Children's Hospital at Randwick, and I'm a genetic counsellor there. So I'm one of the old era where we actually had to have a job while we were playing. So that's my previous occupation, and I've fallen back on that. And obviously now with professionalism, the current players don't really need to work during their time on the field, which is a good thing in many ways.
Yeah, when you look at the way the game's changed, and I guess, you know, quite recently at the MCG when Australia won the T20 World Cup, you must just be gobsmacked at how far the game has come. And I guess, were you emotional? I mean, there was images of Lisa Stelaeker tearing up. I mean, how did you feel? You know, you speak about, you know, being one of the early players. How do you feel when you see how far it's come?
Oh, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, really. It felt like a Super Bowl opening ceremony, you know, with Katy Perry and the dancing cricket bats. I mean, you would never have picked it. You know, Katy Perry, I thought, nailed the brief. She did a wonderful job. And seeing all the young girls dressed in purple, which was sort of the colour of International Women's Day, and just the dancing that went on prior to the match, getting everyone in the mood. And I was fortunate to be on ground preparing for Fox Sports and ABC roles. And, yeah, just to be so close to the action. Obviously, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I was preparing to play in a match like that. I've been a part of many World Cup finals. And if I was a player on that night, I'm not sure I would have been able to soak it up as much as I was able to do as a commentator. But, yeah, what was it, 86,000 people?
Yep.
Just unbelievable scenes. I just loved the way Elisa Healy attacked the game from ball one, really. And I just look at her and think she was born for that. You know, she was born for that moment, and yeah, she took it with both hands. Incredibly well supported by Beth Mooney, player of the tournament, at the other end. And Australia were just too good. And I think they're the sorts of players that rise in the big occasions. And unfortunately for India, they didn't have as many of those people in their lineup. So they were just outclassed. And for all of us Australians, we were just so thrilled to see Australia get through, for one, because it was obviously extremely lucky that the rain stopped at the SCG. And then for them to dominate in a packed house at the MCG, it was, you know, dreams come true.
And when some of the stars of that team, like Elise Perry and Meg Lanning and Elisa Healy, came into the Australian side when you were playing, could you see how good they were going to be?
Yeah, actually, you know, they were sort of a crop of players who are now the veterans and seniors of that Australian team, who I think you could already see the benefits of good, well-established pathway systems, especially when I talk about the New South Wales systems that I know really well, and those underage teams dominate and have won so many titles back-to-back. So Elisa Healy and Elise Perry, two of many who have come through those underage teams, but once they hit the ground at the highest level, again, it just feels like they were made for it. They're ready to go and to take their place and to actually, you know, perform straight away. If you think about 10 years ago when Elise Perry bowled the last over of the 2010 World Cup final, the one I was captaining, you know, she was an absolute pup then. And she had the real responsibility to bowl us to a World Cup win in that last over. Yeah, there were many other performers that day. You know, I think Shelnitschke bowled the house down. But for Elise Perry to hold her nerve in that last over was a huge moment, and she was just a kid.
Was that the one she stuck the boot out, or was that the one after?
Yeah, that's the one. It's, you know, the imagery is sort of lasered into our minds now. Elise Perry bowling to Sophie Devine. Sophie smashes it back towards the straight boundary, and Pez gets her right big toe on it. And as soon as the ball strikes her foot, we realise we've won a World Cup. And we probably didn't deserve to with the runs we had on the board. It was only 106 runs, and we found a way to defend it. And sometimes those low-scoring games are the most exciting. And when you think about the MCG final, yeah, it was 160,000 people. Australia performed very well, but it was a very one-sided game. If I could ask for one thing that could have been better, it would have been that, you know, it was a closer contest. That would have just capped off a wonderful night.
Yeah, I think the only good thing about the final was it was a great spectacle that, you know, Australia batted so well and they bowled India out. There was quite a lot to watch. But let's go back to that 2010 T20 World Cup that you spoke of. I've heard you say in other interviews that was probably one of the biggest highlights of your career. I think your identical twin sister was in the team. You were the captain. I guess, why is that particular win so special?
Yeah, so my identical twin sister, Kate, she wasn't in that side, but she was in the first ever T20 international for Australia. We were in the team that got the first numbers. So Belinda Clark's got number one because she was captain. It was a T20 against England in 2005. And because Kate and I have a last name, Blackwell, I got number two and Kate got number three. So the first Australian T20 team was given their caps in alphabetical order, bar the captain. So, yeah, Kate didn't play a T20 World Cup, but she was very much a part of the Southern Stars' history. But the 2010 T20 World Cup final and that tournament, there's so much to sort of remark on. But it was the first of Australia's now five T20 World Cup wins. I'm talking for the women. I'm really hoping the men can get their first on home soil later in the year, all things going well with this COVID-19 situation. But, yeah, look, I think the reason it stands out so much for me is I was called upon to captain, and that was unexpected because it was through an injury to Jodie Fields, the current captain, that I needed to step up as vice to captain that side. I hadn't led the New South Wales Breakers yet. You know, it was a big ask for me, but I was well supported by my vice captain Shelnitschke and the senior players and Richard McGuinness and Catherine Fitzpatrick, the coaching staff. So, yeah, to step up as captain to lead the team to victory, it was such a, you know, clinch victory off the last ball. And also our Australian men's team were cheering us on from the balcony, and to have Michael Clarke there with us at the end to celebrate with us. They'd lost their final just before, and they stuck around to watch us. And I think that moment for me, the images of Michael and the boys cheering us on and genuinely enjoying the spectacle of a really close contest, and to see Australia win the first T20 World Cup, you know, it was sort of legitimising our sport, I felt. And Michael was always great with that. He would always comment on when he was talking about his team, he would say, yes, the Australian men's cricket team. And he was the first person to start doing that, I felt. And, you know, I always thank him for that.
That is very nice to hear. I guess winning a World Cup is one of those few times as an athlete you can, I guess, sort of sit back and go, I'm at my peak. I've climbed my mountain. You know, they must be the sort of times that you really can soak it all up.
Winning a World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't at my best. I mean, at the time I thought I was at my best as a cricketer. It was definitely the pinnacle of my career in many ways, the excitement of that moment. But the thing I'm most proud of is actually I became a much better cricketer. Even, you know, pretty much in the last few years of my career, that's when I played my best. And the thing I'm most proud of is that ability to keep finding a way to get better. And, yeah, I had a long career. I felt like I finished when I needed to for many reasons, but pleased that I stopped at the top of my game.
Yeah, now last couple, I just want to ask you a bit about your, well, your post-playing career now. In 2018, yeah, you became the first woman to be elected to the board of Cricket New South Wales in the organisation's 159-year history. I know some other people have been appointed, but you were elected. I guess you must be very proud. And what are some of the challenges you're finding about being on the board?
Well, it's really my first board role, so it's challenging to really understand what your role is as a board member and to think strategically and not get too stuck in the detail, which I'm a pretty detail-oriented person. I think, yeah, I'm very proud to have been elected by the members to represent them. And, yeah, I guess I'm someone who's always shown great interest in equality, fairness, inclusion, and I think that's what cricket continues to strive for and has put as a priority, as you can see with some of the amazing policies that have been established. And, you know, I'm pleased to say I was a part of some of the policies, like the trans and gender inclusion policy at Cricket Australia and the parental leave policy. You know, really starting to just, you know, those final finishing touches, I think, to ensure that cricket is a sport for everyone equally. So, yeah, I guess that's the sort of strength I bring to the board at Cricket New South Wales, and then more broadly being a director within the cricket family. I can continue to look for ways to keep enhancing that.
Yeah, I commentated on a couple of New South Wales WNCL games for the first time last season, and I loved the cricket, and boy, that New South Wales Breakers team has got some young talent to watch.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Who do you sort of enjoy watching who are coming through? I know that you watch a lot of cricket, so is anyone standing out for you?
I think there's a lot of talent in that side, but the player that really stands out for me, having a point of difference, is Stella Campbell, the young 17-year-old quick. She's very tall, and she gets bounced that you don't see a lot of other female bowlers get, and I think she could be a real handful on the international stage.
Yeah, and I think you've pointed out someone who hasn't yet really been spoken of enough. You know, she'll get there and she'll start making her mark. We see the players like Hannah Darlington, Phoebe Litchfield from the Sydney Thunder in particular, who have really burst onto the scene and people are really talking about them. I reckon you've picked someone there who will be sort of the next one through that we actually start talking about, because you're right, she's sort of physically intimidating. She's a point of difference. Not many people bowl like she does. And, really excited to see how strong she's getting. And, you know, credit to the Cricket New South Wales strength and conditioning team. I think that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of strong fast bowlers coming through, like Hayley Silver-Holmes, another one. So, yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah, I think Phoebe Litchfield's going to be a star. She's got an amazing batting technique.
Can I tell you a story about Phoebe? So her and I played in the bushfire appeal game, and I was padded up waiting to bat, and Sachin Tendulkar was our coach. So he was sitting next to me, or I should say I was sitting next to him, and Phoebe faces her first ball. She's batting with Brian Lara at this stage, and left-handed batter Phoebe, and she strikes her first ball through the covers, no run, but beautifully out of the middle. And Sachin turns to me and says, "So she's 15. And I say, "Actually, she's 16, but yeah, I know, she's amazing." Wow. So, you know, it only took one ball for perhaps the greatest player of the modern era, Sachin Tendulkar, to comment. So, yeah, I think she's going to be great. And I'm very proud that she's a country player from New South Wales.
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with Sash, and she's going to be fantastic. All right, last one, Alex, before I let you go.
All right.
Now you're switching from player to commentator. Do you know what sort of commentator you want to be now?
Oh, look, it's a real privilege for me to be able to step into calling the game after a long career, I think 19 consecutive seasons playing elite cricket. So, yeah, to step into commentary and to have that opportunity with Fox and ABC more recently, it is a real thrill. And I'm learning every day. I feel like I just need to back myself and call the game and enjoy it as well. I get quite serious and a bit game face, a bit like what I do when I'm playing. And I'm sort of lightening up and easing into it and really enjoying the teams that I'm working in. I guess, I can call any of the games. I've done my test match debut, which was a different prospect. I've been doing a lot of T20 cricket, and that would be my bread and butter. I absolutely love calling the T20 World Cup for women and also the WBBL. I'll probably do a bit more of that coming up. But, I guess it supplements what I do away from cricket as well, because I actually really enjoy the balance I've got. Having had a long playing career and I'm sitting on the board, it is really important for me to not overdo it from a cricket point of view. So I've got just about the right balance at the moment and really enjoying it.
Well, sounds like it. Wonderful opportunities ahead when this is all over. Alex, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I've wanted to chat to you for ages. We finally got to do it. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll run into each other next summer.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Alex Blackwell, the most capped Australian female cricketer. And that was another lockdown special. So throughout this period, Paul's going to be doing some history podcasts. I'm going to be doing some one-on-one interview with former and current players. And we'll also have our regular weekly episodes. So head to Oz Cricket Pod, that's AUS Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at AMenez. You can find the podcast on TikTok as Cricket Unfiltered. I've been your host, Andrew Mensel. Thanks again to Alex Blackwell, and we'll be back soon with another podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.